You cannot have suspicion and discernment at the same time.
You cannot.
You already know. It's the Joe Kingdom Perspective.
What's going on, my friends? Welcome back to the Joe Kingdom Perspective. This is the show that gives you a kingdom perspective on clips taken from the Joe Rogan Experience so that you might easily comprehend how the kingdom is advancing in the most unexpected of places, in the most unexpected of ways, and through the most unexpected of people. I'm your host, Dub Alexander, and with me today are my fellow heretics, V. Ryan Pena and Dr. Tony Robinson. What's happening, y'all? Good times. Listen, we're about to play a clip in which Joe Rogan is talking with Cat Williams about the possibility of technology maybe lending itself towards the narrative of a mark of the beast. And what's curious to me in this conversation is it shows just how bad theology makes great movies left behind, but terrible doctrine. But the way that this clip closes, Joe hits on such an amazing key to how the supernatural or the spiritual realms operate and work. And so it's going to be an amazing conversation. Lance, let's roll that clip.
I always wonder whether or not all the stories in the Bible, it's just where we are experiencing it. Like the mark of the beast thing that we were talking about earlier. If that is not, I think if you had to tell a story for so many years, before anybody ever even figured out how to write it down, and you're telling a story about a civilization that allowed people to put brain implants in them, and then all of a sudden the brain implants were hijacked by machines and people became just meat zombies controlled by corporations. That would be the mark of the beast. That would be a demonic thing. If a demon tricked human beings into wearing a hat that turned you into a zombie, that demon would be like a famous character in books and folklore. But that demon exists and it's just technology. It just shows itself through this desire for the newest, latest innovations that are going to constantly fuel it becoming more and more powerful until one day it tricks you into letting it into its head like a vampire. Like the vampire stories, you had to let them in, remember? That was the thing. You had to invite them in. And if you invited them in, you're fucked. But if you didn't invite them in, for some reason, they weren't allowed to kill you.
So I want to start by saying that none of us believe that any sort of microchip, much less Neuralink, which Elon Musk is creating to help paraplegics walk again, which sounds like a kingdom idea to me. We don't believe in any of that nonsense. If that's the only view of the end times that you have ever been presented, you can go to kingdomendtimes.com and we have a little mini course there, which lays out the historical accurate view of what is being spoken about in Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation. And it will set you free from any fear surrounding where the world is headed, all of that goodness, but I digress. This clip made me laugh, though. I enjoyed it where Joe was going and the way he ended it specifically, but I'd love to hear from you guys.
Well, this was a blast. I think it's interesting how the whole idea here, so let me start with the way some of the church, well, much of the church views the world in general, is that we still view the world as under the power of the evil one. Mm-hmm. Right, and we'll even use some verses out of context, right? And which I don't have time to get into, you know, all of that. But the point is this. Oh, I'll give one.
Yeah.
I'll just give one.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age, not world, has blinded their minds. Mm.
But my Bible says world.
Get a new one. Just kidding.
You're right, though.
So it's the God of this age has blinded their minds. Now, here's the problem with that is that we will take that into today and we'll say, well, Satan is the God of this age, this time period, which first of all, nowhere in those chapters is Satan, demons, that's nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. If you want to continue, what you have to do is you have to look at 2 Corinthians 4:4 from the continuation of chapter 3.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And chapter 3 is actually a whole discussion on Old Covenant versus New Covenant. And he talks about Moses. How I was always told and taught, and because this is somewhere in the Old Testament, right, where it says that Moses put a veil on his face when the glory was shining on his face, that he put a veil because he was so humble. He didn't want people to see his face was shining. And yet what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is that the real reason he put the veil on his face was because that glory that was on his face was fading. And he didn't want them to see that it was fading. So he put that veil, which the veil was the symbol of the old covenant, which was separation, the lie of separation and all of that. And so he's saying, he says, and even to this day, this is 2 Corinthians 3 again, even to this day, when the Old Testament is read, that same veil is on their face. He says, and that veil is only removed when Christ enters the picture. He says, and that's why he says, with an unveiled face, we behold the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. There is no chapter break in the original. So you have to keep going. The veil of 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world that has veiled their minds, is not the devil.
Come on.
It is that old covenant veil. It is that old religious system. That was the God of that age. It wasn't the devil. And so you might say, well, Ryan, I mean, how can that be a God? I mean, well, I mean, in other verses, it says that their God is their bellies. same thing, right? Their God is in other words, what is it that you are worshiping? What is it that you believe deals with your state or your condition? That's your God.
What is the idol you look to other than God?
Yes.
To guide your life.
Your word smithery never ceases to amaze me.
That's right.
And so, yeah, 100%. So, but here's the first problem that I see here in much of the mindset of the church is that we still view Satan as the God of this world,
right?
The ruler of this world. So anything technology, he's the father of it. Anything in something that is, you know, going on, he's the father of it. He is the God of this age, the God of all technology. So that's why it's evil.
Right.
You automatically make it evil because you think that the enemy is the father of it.
Before we continue this conversation, I've got a question for you. Are you harboring fear of the future in your heart because you've been told everything's getting darker, everything must get worse, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, watch out for the Antichrist, for the beast, be prepared for the rapture, all sorts of hot nonsense? This episode is brought to you by School of Kingdom, and we would like to offer you a different perspective on what is happening, a kingdom perspective, that as it says in Isaiah, of the increase of the government, which is the kingdom, and the peace, which is what the kingdom brings, there will be no end. Things are getting better. Head over to kingdomendtimes.com to hear a different perspective. And I'm just telling you, you can exchange that fear for joy and peace. Things are getting better. Jesus is on the throne and you are here as his representative. Let's advance the kingdom with peace and joy.
Friends, the enemy is not the father of anything. That's He's not right. the creator of technology or nations or people. No, God is the father of all of those things. But here's the thing, is that we will say that is outside the boundaries of reformation. That's outside the boundaries of transformation. That's outside the boundaries of what God can do, restore, redeem. What part of humanity did Jesus not purchase?
Come on, let's go.
It's like, well, the blood went there, but not there. You know, I mean, listen, he has redeemed all things. I love that in the book of Revelation, right? I am making all things new.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
All things new. So I think that's the first thing where we go wrong is we have attributed wrong ownership.
Yes.
We've attributed ownership to the wrong source. God is the source of technology, innovation, and all of those things. And when you understand that, then you won't be afraid of it and you won't demonize it.
Yeah.
Which is what's happening a lot with technology today.
100%.
Yes.
And that view that Joe was referencing, right, that I'm sure he's picked up from Christian culture, you know, it's so funny because the same people that were saying, hey, if you watch a horror movie, you're opening a portal into your house and the demons are going to tumble into your living room, are the same people that produce the Left Behind movies, which is just a Christian horror movie. Mm-hmm. Neither of them are true. Neither of them are real, but I digress. Go. Well,
which is what
it is.
Love it casts out fear.
That's right.
Exactly. Love casts out fear. So let's make a movie that instills fear.
Exactly. Yeah. And paralyzes an entire people group, right? So we can't move. We can't believe for anything because we're trapped by fear. every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, every good and perfect gift. And I wonder if there is a part of us that can't accept these gifts, technology, as being good or perfect. Is it because, just a thought I'm wondering, would it have a different reception, let's say if, no, not you, Ryan had invented Neuralink, because, you know, we all know. Fair. Yeah. You and I, it's definitely
we're
from
both
the devil.
Questionable.
But if I'm Ryan, the Bible answer man, if he had this revelation and revolutionary idea on how to help better humanity and give people a gift that would enable them to walk again or function again, and he's like, man, God totally, I feel like God gave me this. I was studying something or dreamt it, or would we herald that as a God thing? Or because it's someone that we can't identify God in, because we haven't yet begun to filter through the lens of kingdom, when other people get God ideas, we ascribe it to something demonic.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. The interesting thing is that the religious community, is they would give Ryan a shot at the possibility of it being an idea from God, but they would also bring up their checklist mm-hmm. of all the things that Ryan must, how he must carry himself in order to prove that he really is walking with God, right? It's like when Kat Von D met Jesus, or man, Kanye met Jesus, or Brian Welch met Jesus, and there's like this little burst, hey, a celebrity got saved, one for the team, they prayed the prayer, and then what do? Everybody pulls out their little checklist, and as soon as Kanye said ass on the, I think it was Jay Leno or whatever, you know, and he even knew it. He says ass, and he's like, I know I just lost six points on the Christian board or whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
it's they King would, James.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And so he'd immediately be disqualified because he's my friend. But
And would they require him to show or make him prove that God gave me this idea so I can prove that God exists?
Yes. And the name of it would have to be Jesus Chip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you have to repent before you can take it.
Bro!
I won't give it to you until you repent.
It's the Jesus Chip, but you must receive the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior before we'll give you the chip that will allow you to walk again. Because that's how Jesus did it.
It's in the disclaimer. You got the prayer in the disclaimer. You got to sign it. So we're being silly. So people are probably like, these guys are really crazy.
I mean, it's true.
But it's so interesting, though, how when you think about the way that... So we know, and as Dub mentioned, what we've taught on the Kingdom End Times course, we break down what that mark is literally in the context of history, right? Mm-hmm. But I would also say, you know, how many know there's that literal, but you can also have some applications. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to be careful with all that. But I would just say this, the fact that it's on the head or on the hand, I would say you could maybe possibly say something to the effect of where the mindset and the behavior is what's trying to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
It's thinking and it's behavior, right? That's trying to be controlled. And so that's really interesting to me, where you see this happening, and because that was Joe's whole thing, is control.
Yes.
Or I should say the whole thing, but that was one of the things I heard in the clip. Was controlling the mind.
He even said, put on a hat, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, he says, man, can you imagine if there was this thing that would control your mind? You're just, what do you say, a meat zombie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think a meat zombie. You know, that's really, so think about this. That is really the ultimate goal of religion.
Yes. Yes.
The goal of religion is control. Right. And Dub, you could probably break this down, religion and politics, right? Like you have these two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that are both bringing elements of control in different capacities. In fact, why you want to break that down?
Yeah, sure. So the religious mindset and the political mindset are both rooted in fear and seeking to control. They just have a different target. And so the religious mindset will go after your heart. The political mindset will go after your mind. But they're both after the same thing, which is to instill fear in you and in an effort to control your behavior to suit their agendas. It's just that, you know, the religious side produces meat zombies and the political side produces vegan zombies, but...
That's funny, dude. Oh, my goodness. So think about that, right? If the enemy is the counterfeiter...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then, and it's crazy because there are verses in Revelation that talk about putting a seal or a mark on the people of God. Mm.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's mm-hmm. really crazy when you think about, because everybody just talks about the mark of the beast. Nobody's talking about the seal of God.
Come on.
What's going on? So why would there be like this mark of the beast thing? Because he's a counterfeiter.
Mm-hmm.
God has sealed your mind. God has sealed you. In other words, Holy Spirit, where religion and politics bring this element of control, Holy Spirit with freedom brings empowerment.
Yes.
Right? It's not just freedom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that control and freedom are necessarily opposites. Yes, there's an element of that. I think ultimately, though, it's not just freedom, it's empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
It's the ability to do, not just, well, I'm just free. Free to do what? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm just at least free from that thing over there. Mm-hmm. It's not just simply an element of freedom. It's actually empowerment to actually produce in mm-hmm. the earth
mm-hmm.
things that reflect heaven.
Come on.
You know, so, but it goes back to this whole idea of the control of the enemy, right? The enemy's in control of everything. And then ultimately where religion and politics want to bring control in the mind.
Yes.
And so I love that the Lord is not a controller.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's where, you know, I confused the will of God for so many years with control.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a narrow, narrow path. The will of God was just narrow path. And you have to give up everything that you like to try to get into that path, or you will miss it. And God can no longer do anything with your life. Mm-hmm. And the will of God became a source of anxiety rather than a source of empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because religion twisted the whole concept of the will of God to control. And I know you like those things, but I need you to die to all that stuff and die to all these dreams that you have. And then we're going to put you in this thing that you really hate, but I like it.
And then there were layers, right? It was like, well, you may be in the acceptable will of God.
Good, perfect, accept. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But are you in the perfect will of God? Mm-hmm. And so it was like you were just never sure where you were at. And oh my gosh.
Yeah, the permissible will. I remember that. Right. One. Like, this is God is allowing it, but he's not for it. And I wonder, because we're called to live from freedom, and I wonder if it's because we don't know what to do with freedom, and freedom scares us because it's like you said, I'm free, but free to do what? I don't know what to do with freedom. I think back in even in our nation, when slaves were free, but they had an option, you can continue to stay on your master's land and continue to do life, be cared for, you know, you can, you know, keep farming crops, because that's what we're calling it now, is you can continue to be a farmer and, you know, live here rent free and have nothing. Or you can go out there and start on your own. And if you've only been enslaved, mm-hmm. you don't know what freedom looks like. So it's fearful. So we choose to stay in bondage. We choose to stay in control because we were free, but free to do what? I don't know what's down the road. I don't know what's on the other side of this. And so I think sometimes that's why we continue to navigate towards things that give us a semblance of control, because as humans, I think we like to feel like we're in control of some things, and areas where we feel out of control, we need people to control for us. So we choose control. And I think it's funny to me is that we could fear, because fear controls and fear is profitable. Like, so, you know, if you don't tithe, all this stuff is going to happen to you. So the church continues to be profitable, and well, you can't feed your kids. But we have freedom, and we walk in an expression of freedom. So how do we get to the place that we can begin to exhibit what true freedom looks like, that the will of God is for you to be free? And thinking about this, what happens? Okay, I'm not scattered. I'm making a point here. I'm going somewhere. What happens? And I don't know if you guys have noticed this because you all grew up in church.
Cults.
Yeah, I try not to say it. I don't want to, you know, but it's the truth. We grew up like this. But I've met so many people who were successful business people who were living, they were thriving, they were enjoying life, they were, you know, all of the things, and they were operating from freedom and brilliance. And then they came into Christianity. And it's like they checked their brain at the door and exchanged it for a hat. Now we can't make a decision. We have to ask, like, you know, well, would you all pray with me? Because we're thinking about selling our house because we'd like to upgrade, or we're thinking about moving 3 blocks over the road, but we don't want to be out the will of God. And before you came into this Christianity, you would have sold your house because you would have saw the benefit of it. You would have saw that now the market's a good time to sell. We can make a profit. We can invest. What happens to me? That's beastly that something invites you to check your mind at the door.
Yeah. Ryan, you have a great piece on just what a beast is symbolically. And I think that plays into
being raised here. So, you know, when you look at the book of Daniel, you see where there's this image that has all of these different empires, these world empires that were present in Daniel's day, Babylon, and the ones that were to come, the Medes and Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. And then what you see over the next several chapters is you see those same world systems, those same what I would just call inferior governing systems. They're inferior to the kingdom. Because in that Daniel 2 passage is where you see the stone that comes from the mountain hits the earth, right? Hits the feet, which was the timeline. Mm-hmm. That image is a timeline of when Jesus would come to the earth. And that stone forms a mountain in the earth just like the mountain that it came from. Mm-hmm. So the kingdom, as it is existed in the unseen, in the realm of heaven, coming to the earth through Jesus and becoming that stone becoming a mountain where the kingdom now begins to manifest fully in the earth, because it says that mountain covered the whole earth. So that's the big picture there. But here's what we see is that over the next several chapters, we see those same pieces of the statue, those same inferior governing systems represented as beasts. Because I saw this one looked like a goat, looked like a bear, looked all. And this one that was just crazy looking, right? And so what's wild is that when you begin to read Daniel, you recognize that beasts are inferior governing systems. Inferior governing systems. And so if you want to use scripture to interpret scripture, right? And I think that's where when we don't do that, now we're expecting some... there's some kid that's been raised out in the Middle East somewhere that's being raised up to be the next, Antichrist and Mark of the Beast and all these things, or something from the European Union. So we start using modern day thoughts to interpret the scriptures rather than what does scripture say about beasts? Daniel makes it clear. Mm-hmm. These are inferior systems that are trying to control and govern man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you don't think that Western Protestant evangelicalism has not developed into a beast, right, that is seeking to control, and people who have, you know, you might call them an orphan in their mindset, right, but have been walking as kings on the earth, when they're introduced to this system, all of a sudden they are disempowered, right? Mm-hmm. And like you said, like if they would just pause and look back through their history, they would see, dang, I tend to make the right decision 90% of the time, and my life is evidence of that. Why am I now asking somebody who is broke and, living their lives off of moving people into a place of fear so that they're forced to give. Mm-hmm. Why am I asking them financial advice rather than understanding, oh, the spirit of truth lives within me, and actually I am probably bringing a healthy mindset into this place, they might should be asking me some questions. Oh my goodness.
And I think going back, because you know Ryan and I were 60, so we've seen we have seen some
it's been said.
It is. And so I remember when I first came into like the late 80s into the kingdom, and it was something to do with Pepsi. I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was so confused because I was been a Pepsi drinker all my life, but something about Pepsi products was like a mark of the beast, so we should be drinking like Coca-Cola. And I'm like, this, I don't know, like, but I was still secretly drinking Pepsi, so that's probably the problem.
You but, poured Pepsi in a Coke can.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, and so, but there were different things that were evidence of the mark of the beast. So if you had a credit card, that was a mark of the beast. So, you know, we got to do things with cash, keep writing a check. Well, then it wasn't just a credit card. It was when you go to the grocery store. I remember people saying, like, you know, every time you swipe for your little rewards point, they're tracking you as part of the mark of the beast system. And what's going to happen is when things that, you know, Antichrist rises up, there'll be able to generate, they know exactly how much milk you've bought. So if things start changing, and at the Antichrist and stuff, so if you're now buying 12 gallons of milk, they know that you're trying to take care of people who, you know, don't have the mark or what, are all the weird stuff. And I'm like, this is insane. What if you had more kids? Then it went from that, the little magnetic strip, to the chip in the bank card. It's like, oh, that's the mark of the beast. Computers were the mark of the beast. All of this stuff. And I'm like, well, which mark is it? Because I need to know.
Right.
Like, so I need to know. And this is the question that people ask. They really want to know, like, we're living in fear to accept anything because we don't know. So if someone can give us clarity on what it is so that we'll know to avoid it.
Yeah.
And it's none of those things, I can assure you.
I mean, you think about that. Constant suspicion will dwindle your influence.
Yes, it will.
Because if you know, it's kind of like that, the whole story of the boy who cried wolf, right? And so, now, of course, that was an intentional prank thing. But on the, on the other side of it, what about when it's just you're following a conspiracy theory group more than you are Holy Spirit, more than you are truth? And, I mean, we've heard this for several years now, certain conspiracy theory groups that, hey, this is going to happen. This is going to happen on this date. And then nothing happens. Mm-hmm.
They're like harbingers of bad news led by con men. If you know, so you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You're welcome. Continue.
That was right on the spot too, huh? Mm-hmm. Gosh, man, yeah. I want a brain like yours when I grow up. And so my point is this, is that when we keep going into all the conspiracy theories, And every new thing, I don't know what it is, where religion teaches us to be afraid of everything that's new, right? Maybe because there's nothing new under the sun, which we've, you know, dealt with that on another episode, that's not true for us today on this side of the cross. And so, but I think that because we've had that mentality, we're terrified of everything, we're suspicious of everything. And here's the thing. You cannot have suspicion and discernment at the same time.
You cannot.
Come on, somebody.
That's oil and water, my friends. That does not work. You can't be walking in suspicion of everything. And look at the fruit, right? The suspicion will always lead to fear. Discernment will lead to wisdom. Because if you are discerning something, then there will be wisdom. Joseph had the wisdom to know what to do, right? And so I really believe that we need to start clarifying what is suspicion and what is discernment. And if it causes, because look at the fruit of it. How do you know the difference? If truth will make you free, then what will lies do? Restrict. So what's the fruit of what I'm believing? What's the fruit of what, how do I feel, man? If it looks like, you know, peace and joy, then I'm probably discerning something true.
Come on.
If it looks like anxiety and fear and hoarding, and now I got to compete with everybody, and I'm freaking out, then, my friends, that is not the fruit of the discerning of spirits. Right? Discernment by Holy Spirit. That's not the fruit of it. So look at the fruit of it. What's it producing? What's it producing in the church? What's it producing in our families? Now, again, I'm not saying we'll never have crisis, that wisdom will show us how to prepare for. Yeah, I think that you will see people like a Joseph, but they are building not to hoard for themselves because of the fear of not having. They're actually building storehouses that can feed and that can bring others to the goodness of God.
They're not building for the end. They're building for the future.
That's so good. Yeah. So good. So good. And and freedom definitely threatens discernment, right? Because discernment just brings more fear. And as you were talking, I was envisioning Jesus, you know, at the time of Jesus on the earth, there was all the political pressure from what was going on. And then there was religious pressure going on, right? So the people are kind of caught in the middle. Well, then freedom shows up. And what happens is religion is the first thing that questions freedom. Who is this man? By what authority are you doing this? Wait, you're doing what? Who told you you can do that? Who told you, how to read a scroll like this? Like, what are you saying? Like, you're like God, you're the Son of God. And it was Jesus was bringing freedom into the mindsets of people to show them that there was a different way, and immediately religion demonized it. If they had the same verbiage we had today, I really believe that Jesus would have been labeled the Antichrist. I do. And it's like, and it's the same today. Anything that doesn't lead you to peace, I think that's beastly.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. The ability to listen, you have freedom and permission. You have permission that you didn't need, but if you thought maybe you needed permission, here you go. You have freedom and permission to dismiss any theology that has been given to you that is producing a root of a fear in your life and a fruit of anxiety. If it's robbing you from peace and joy, you have the ability to dismiss that bad theology and to go on a joyful exploration, a journey to discern the kingdom truth that God would like to replace that religious lie with.
Yeah.
And don't discount common sense. Religion will so quickly demonize common sense in order to prop up its agenda, right? Tell them the story about the blood moons and how the astronomer was like,
yeah.
That, because that story cracks me up.
You already know, it's the Joe Kingdom perspective.